You are listening to the State of Sustainability, a podcast that highlights sustainability initiatives throughout the state and develops a casual conversation about environmental stewardship that the average person can understand and replicate. I'm your host, Caleb Powell, and our co-host, Ashley Cabrera. She's actually not on the intro this time, but that's because she basically ran the entire episode. She did a tremendous job asking great questions, coming up with trivia ideas. You guys will see all that in this episode. So July is National Parks and Recreation Month, and so we thought what better way than to sort of pull a panel together that really represents our Tennessee state parks. So, you know, every month we have a ranger report that we highlight one of our amazing Tennessee state parks, but we thought let's just have a panel full of very experienced rangers, managers, that know more about the state parks than really any other people that we know. So we thought, Ashley and I thought, let's bring them together in one episode. So we sort of have the Tennessee State Parks panel, if you will. And so we've got a lot of cool information that's coming up for you guys. Hope you enjoy.
Today on the podcast, we are very excited to have not one, not two, but four guests with us, all from Tennessee State Parks. If you didn't know, this month is National Parks and Rec Month, so each month we actually highlight a state park, but we wanted to do a whole podcast episode specifically talking about state parks and some of the hidden gems and some of the sustainability stuff going on as well. So on the call today, I'm going to just tell you their names, and then they're going to take turns telling you a little bit about themselves. So on the call today, we have Mike Robertson, Robin Peeler, Laura Franklin, and Brenna Sharp. We'll go one by one. I'm just going to go in order of my screen. So Mike, if you want to start and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, Ashley. My name is Mike Robertson. I'm the Director of Operations for Tennessee State Parks. I have served in this role for the last, will be 10 years in September. And it's been an exciting time for us in Tennessee State Parks. I've also have served for over 35 years with Tennessee State Parks in many different roles. I began as a seasonal interpretive ranger, full-time as a park ranger, also served as a park manager, an area manager before I became the director of operations. So it's been an exciting career, and I look forward for many more years.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike. All right, Robin, you're up.
Hey. Thanks again for having us. So I'm Robin Peeler. I'm an area manager with Tennessee State Parks. I oversee the Upper East region of the state. I've been in this role just starting my 10th year, and I've been with Tennessee State Parks for 26 years. Like Mike, I kind of started at the bottom as a state park naturalist and worked my way up through park ranger, park manager, and then into the area manager position. And I guess that about covers it. I also oversee on the park side our sustainability program within parks, Go Green With Us, which I know y'all have covered in the podcast before, and we appreciate that. So thanks again for having us.
Yes, we love mentioning Go Green With Us for sure. Thanks, Robin. All right, Brenna.
All right. Hey, everyone. Thanks again for having me. I have been with Tennessee State Parks in total for about 3 years. I started as an intern. I went to school at Middle Tennessee State University, and there was a job fair that I just happened to be at and saw the booth for state parks and told myself I'm going to work there. And got the internship and just stuck it out for about a year and was just so in love with parks, started doing events. So I was at parks a lot, getting to meet people and see the benefit up close. And then after about a year, I transitioned full time into being in my current role, which is digital marketing manager. So now I'm spending more time on our website and our social media and advertising and things like that, but still loving the fact that I get to connect with people and tell them how to experience our wonderful parks. So thanks so much.
Awesome. And I bet Caleb dorked out for a minute when you said you went to MTSU. Awesome. Thanks. Okay, Laura, you're up.
Hello, everyone. I'm Laura Franklin, and I work with the Interpretive Programs and Education Team for your Tennessee State Parks. And my role now is working with our statewide program initiatives in interpretation and recreation and supporting training for park staff, particularly our park rangers, as it relates to interpretation and leading programs and leading people and those types of programs in the outdoors. I started out at the top because I was also a seasonal interpreter with state parks, and that's the job that most people, if you ask a ranger what their favorite job they ever had, they started out as a seasonal. They say that's the job that they really love the most because you get to get out and be that front line, first person interaction, and really oftentimes the first contact that someone has when they come to visit a park. And you're really helping people connect to the resource and getting them to move toward stewardship of our beautiful park. So it really is the best job, I think. And so I started out at the top, and I've worked my way into the Interpretive Programs and Education team. And I was a park naturalist at Radnor Lake for a number of years. I left parks for a few years and did some other work with nonprofits and Metro National Parks Department, and then came back into the role that I serve now.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, thank you all for introducing yourselves. So I know I sent y'all some questions, but I have a little surprise. We're going to start out with state park trivia. I'm a big game person, so I'm sorry if you don't like trivia, but I thought it'd be fun just to see, because some of this stuff I actually did not know, so I'm curious to see what y'all know. The way we're going to do this is raise your hand if you know the answer. Use the little raise your hand icon, and I'll call on you. If y'all are good to start that. Everyone knows where the raise your hand thing is, right, before I start?
Yeah.
Yep, all good. Okay. First question is, which state park had wintering bald eagles in the early 1970s when they were rarely observed? Oh, Mike, all right.
Redfoot Lake.
That's right. Laura, just behind him. All righty. Okay, so next question is, which state park has the largest masonry structure built by the CCC? Laura.
Sorry, that's Cumberland Mountain State Park in Crossville, Tennessee.
That's right. Okay, awesome. Okay, next one. Just need to remember to put the hands down. which state park is built on a reclaimed strip mine? Mike.
That would be Indian Mountain State Park.
Yeah, that's right. That's actually one that I did not know, actually. Okay, next one. Which state natural area was once owned by a country music legend? Laura.
I believe you said state natural area, right?
Yeah.
Trying to think of the specific, it's part of Long Hunter State Park, right? Or next to Long Hunter State Park.
Would be Dunbar
right,
Bay.
Actually.
Oh, Dunbar. Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah,
yes, Dunbar. Roy Acuff. That's right. Yeah. Alrighty. Next one. The widest body of water can be seen from which state park? Mike.
That would be Paris Landing State Park.
Good job. Alrighty. Which state historic area preserves a site significant in the French and Indian War of 1754 to 1763? Mike again.
That would be Fort Loudoun.
Good job. You are dominating. I think you may know your parks. Okay, next one. What was the first area to become a Tennessee state park? Laura, you beat him that time.
I believe the claim to fame is Harrison Bay as of an official state park, but there is some controversy out there because there's some other parks that were designated as public lands early on. And so if you ask people in the field, you may get some pushback when you say that it's Harrison Bay, just FYI.
Yes, when I was putting that one together, I actually read some mm-hmm. of that, so that was good. Okay, the park symbol on the arrowhead shoulder patch worn by rangers is based on a view at what state park? Oh, Mike?
That would be from Cove Lake State Park.
Good job. That's right. Okay, we got a few more. Two more to be exact. All right. Which state historic park has a boundary that is also the state boundary? Oh, I stumped y'all on this. Oh, Laura.
I think that you said the state historic park. That would be Fort Pillow.
No, that's not right.
Red Clay.
Red Clay, yep.
Oh.
Gotcha. Hey, that's okay. I did not know that one either. So, okay. So this is actually a two-part question. I'm going to give opportunity for both. Okay. So name the smallest state park in acreage. Brenna.
Is it Big Cypress?
No, that was a runner-up.
Oh, I don't know.
All right. I'm going to give Robin a chance.
I'm guessing the Bicentennial Capital Mall State Park?
Yes. I was going to be surprised if you did not get that. Okay, so name the largest park in acreage. Laura?
That would be, well, there's also some controversy around this one, too. But I'm going to say, it's controversy. Fall Creek Falls is one of our largest parks, although if you look at Chickasaw State Park with the state forest around it, Mike, has any of that transferred over? Because Natchez Trace is one of the largest, like, public land areas in the state.
No, that would be shared partnership in managing Natchez Trace public lands. Fall Creek Falls and South Cumberland are the largest.
Yes, so South Cumberland, from what I saw, South Cumberland just barely hit the top spot for largest. So, I don't know if any of those stumped y'all. Mike seems to be on top of it for sure. Mike, it looks like you won. You get bragging rights now. That's your prize. That you know the most. Good job. Awesome. Well, hopefully that was fun from y'all, and maybe you learned something like I did, and for our listeners as well. Some of those are really some really cool facts about parks that most people wouldn't even think about. So, awesome. Thanks for playing along, y'all. So, I want to get into just question, and this one question, each person can take, y'all can take turns answering this. So if someone had never been to a Tennessee state park, which one would you suggest that they go to first and why? Mike, if you want to go first.
Yeah. So my recommendation is probably not what you're going to expect, but I would say that I would recommend that they go to the closest state park near them. Tennessee is such a long stretched out state that, but you have a Tennessee State Park within an hour's drive to anybody within the state. So I think for your first experience in Tennessee State Parks would be to visit with the one closest to you so that you can learn more about what that park has to offer. And the reality is that every park is a special place, and there are special things that people can find there that make it unique to them. So that would be my answer.
That's a really good answer. And yes, that's so true. A lot of people don't realize that, actually some of my friends, I live in Montgomery County. People don't realize, I mean, we have two state parks in our county. One of them, Port Royal, which is smaller, but so much beauty and history in it. I saw that Laura has said that that was her answer. Robin or Brenna, do you have anything different?
Yeah, no, not really. I was going to just say, depends on where they're coming from, since we're all over the place, like Mike said, but also just what they're into. The parks are so different. So if somebody had a passion or a strong interest in a certain area, like birding or hiking or fishing, you know, we could make a better recommendation. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Go ahead, Brenna.
Okay. So my answer would kind of depend on whether they're staying the night or if they're just going for the day, which in most cases people are just going to take a day trip for their first time, which is a great way to experience parks. But I would also piggyback off of what Robin said. Some guests, you know, they might want to have specific amenities or activities at the parks. And some of our parks are more rustic. Some of them have more to offer in terms of, you know, restaurants and other experiences that you're not going to find at every single park. So I would suggest planning your trip using the Find a Park map on our website. That map, it shows every single park in the state, so you can find which one is closest to you or, you know, closest to your preferred destination. But there are also filters on that map that can be used to find a park that offers, you know, activities and amenities that you're looking for. Like Robin's example, you know, if you're looking for a park that has boat rentals and a restaurant, you can filter for both of those things and find all of the parks in the state that offer that. We also have lots of blogs on our website that help you plan trips. We have a beginning campers blog that kind of lists some of the parks that are best for first-time campers, because there are tons of campgrounds, and they all provide different things. And some are closer to towns, you know, if you forget items and you need to take a quick store run, or you don't want to be backcountry camping for your first time. We kind of put together a list that can be helpful if anybody's trying to go out and stay the night for their first trip. And then if people are mobile users, I would definitely suggest downloading the free Tennessee State Parks app, because it offers a similar map that you'll find on our website, but you can also use your current location to find parks that are super close to you. And it'll tell you the exact mileage that they are away from you. So that's a really nice feature. And you can favorite parks that you want to visit in the future based on what you see. And my personal favorite feature that you can earn badges for each park that you go to. So if you're a beginner, it's a really great thing to start out with, so that you can track all of your trips throughout parks, and you just earn a cute little badge. It's like a digital park passport, and that's free on the App Store. So I think everybody should get it.
Wow, thanks, y'all. I loved how y'all's answers built on to each other, and I think that's really great. I don't know that a lot of our listeners will realize like how much is actually offered at state parks, but it is super easy to check that stuff out. Like y'all mentioned on the website, you can narrow it down by what you want to do, and how far you want to go and all of that. You can at least get to a state park within a few hours of where you are. I think that's correct, going off of my memory. Go ahead, Laura.
Yes, you're never more than an hour's drive from a Tennessee state park when you're in the state of Tennessee. In most parts of the state, you actually have multiple parks that are less than an hour's drive to you. Here in Nashville, we have the Bicentennial Capitol Mall, we have Radnor Lake, we have Long Hunter. Those are all in Davidson County. And then if you just stretch out a little bit, you've got Cedars of Lebanon, and you've got Montgomery Bell and Bledsoe Creek and Henry Horton just to the south of us. So that's multiple within less than an hour's drive, depending on traffic, of course. And one other thing that I would add about going to a park, because I will just ditto everything that everyone has said, is also think about what you want to do in the time of year. We do have a lot of people visiting parks in the summertime, especially now in this big heat wave. So think about the activity you want to do. And I would just suggest, like Brenna said, do a little time planning your trip so that you know the kind of experience that you are looking for, and then setting that expectation so that when you arrive that you are prepared either for a big crowd, which is what you're looking for, or if you're looking for those places of solitude to get away from it, then reaching out to park staff and having them help you find those places and that kind of experience that you're looking for. Our park staff are invaluable in connecting people to our resources, like I mentioned before. And also, we have so many amazing guided programs that are natural, that focus on natural history, but also on cultural history. So there's something out there for just about anyone's interest, depending on what you're looking for when you come.
Well put, definitely. Well, awesome. Hopefully with all of that, maybe y'all will see an influx of people coming to the website and finding their next little weekend getaway. So I actually looked at, since Paris Landing just opened, I actually looked to for me and my husband to go there for a couple days. It's booked out to November, so it's going to be a minute. So people are definitely eager to explore. Well, thanks for all of that. I want to jump into talking about sustainability, because this is our State of Sustainability podcast. So as far as sustainability, there's a lot of sustainability efforts I know parks are taking. And Robin, this may be geared towards you, but anyone else is free to tack on. But what are three sustainability efforts that most parks are doing?
Okay, so I can jump in with just like my top three that we know everybody is doing across the state. And the number one is recycling. So all state parks are required to recycle what is recyclable, accepted in the county that the park is located in. So it does change across the state, but depending on their county, that's what they're required to take in and collect. And that changes, you know, throughout the year. And you know, with the way recycling is going, we've had to update some of that information at the parks, but most all parks are still taking aluminum and paper. Some counties have quit taking plastic, so that's iffy, but all parks recycle what they're able to recycle in their county. Another thing we do at all state parks is plant native plants, including native trees and shrubs and wildflowers and grasses. We do have a policy in place that requires us to use native plants when we do new planting, so you know, that benefits wildlife and pollinators and people, and native plants don't require as much maintenance or water. So we're really proud of all the parks' efforts with the landscaping at the parks using native plants. And I guess jumping over to energy real quick, we have installed LED lighting at all of our parks statewide. We're not 100% LED, but all parks have upgraded and are really using high efficiency lighting now at the park. So those are just three top things. I'm sure everybody else maybe has some other ideas to throw in there.
Yeah, for sure. Does anyone have something to add, something that you think is really cool sustainability-wise that parks do?
This is Laura. I will add one of the things that I think has been a really great addition to so many of our parks are the water bottle filling stations. And Robin can give more details about that. Some of that was work, was paid for through grant money. But I think it's great because it helps eliminate, you know, single-use plastic and encourage people to reuse water bottles. And it also is just healthier options for folks and helps them stay hydrated when they come to parks, and I think it's one of the greatest things that we've done.
Yeah, we've definitely put a lot of those in. We're actually seeking funding right now, like this week. We're working on another grant because we're still wanting to add more to the park system. But yeah, those things are so popular and people love using them. One other thing that is absolutely statewide, and we're just now getting the rest of these out, is the cigarette butt receptacles that we're putting. We did have them just along our waterway parks, and now we've gotten through Keep Tennessee River Beautiful, had a grant and shared them with us for the entire park system, and Mike Robertson helped us get those, and we're so excited. We're literally delivering those this week, but that'll keep those cigarette butts out of waterways and out of, you know, natural areas where wildlife might eat them or they become toxic in the water. And also parks are required to like collect those and send them into TerraCycle for recycling. So we're excited about that statewide effort.
Actually, I'd also like to share that part of the Go Green With Us initiative is really to, it's really mission driven to support our, you know, mission to preserve, protect the natural cultural resources. And we do that through sustainable practices and to ensure that we are minimizing our footprint on the environment where we are situated with all of our state parks. And that through our state parks, we can be an example to our communities on how to be sustainable and how to implement those practices within a business and also at home. So we seek to set an example that others can follow and put to practice in their own lives. So the promotion and the marketing around the Go Green With Us really, you know, drives that home and everybody's impact on our environment. So we think it's a great program and it's a great way for us to show that we're not just talking, but we're actually walking the walk. So
yeah, that's so good and so well said. I feel like some people they just feel like this is a park, this is where we go to play, but then they realize, oh, it's more than just a park where we go to play. Like when I go to this park and I'm a visitor, like I'm helping and I can help preserve the natural environment. So I think it's really great that y'all set a good example, and hopefully people realize that and can see the different things that y'all mentioned in the parks and realize that it's there more than just recreation for people. Well, going into that, so that's a good segue into my next question, which is, so how can park visitors help parks with their sustainability efforts? What are a few things come to your mind or some things that you would like visitors to know of how they can help y'all in your efforts?
So this is Robin again. So just going back to recycling, just being aware that you can recycle your waste while you're at the park. Please use our recycling facilities. But also if you are like camping at the park or staying at a cabin and our park doesn't accept your recycling, I mean, feel free to take it home. That would really help the whole effort if you have a good recycling system at home. I know I do that when I travel sometimes, recycling nerd, but you know, we encourage that as well. Another thing is just picking up trash at the park. You know, we're constantly, all of our staff work so hard to keep the parks nice and clean, but if you're hiking or you see an issue, you know, often things have just occurred, and don't feel shy about picking it up and throw it in the trash can. And even the smaller things that we may not see unless we're actually walking around, the micro trash is a real problem. Again, that can affect wildlife and break into smaller pieces and get into the environment and cause more problems. So we love it when our park visitors kind of help us maintain the park through these little steps. Just one more thing I'll mention, real quick, is we have a lot of cleanup events and volunteer events with invasive plant removal, things like that. So, you know, park visitors can also jump in and just volunteer at the park and help us take care of it.
That is so funny. That is literally what I was about to say. and that there's, and I, of course, I would blank on the name, but there's a, and I don't know if it's still a trend, but I mean, it's still a thing that could be done. It's cleaning up litter while you jog. I'm forgetting the name, and Kelsey would be able to help me right now, but they combined it to make it...
Is it plogging? It might be...
Yes, thank you, plogging. Okay. You jog while you pick up stuff, pick up litter. There's a ton of stuff, a ton of events to help with. And what's better than, I mean, I hate that we have litter to clean up, but what better place to pick up litter than next to beautiful trees or mountains or water, you know? So, great opportunity. Laura, did you have something to say?
I was just going to add on to what you guys were saying about volunteer events. We have the Weed Wrangle, which helps us remove exotic plants and bring in native plants. And so not only do you get the satisfaction of being an amazing park steward, but you also learn how to identify those invasive exotic plants and maybe do that in your own backyard. So when you're looking for plants to plant and landscape around your house, you can choose natives and you can learn that by volunteering in a state park. We also have National Public Lands Day, National Trails Day events. Some of our big signature events, show up and participate in those. Those are great ways to become more aware and then take that knowledge back with you while developing your stewardship skills and abilities within state parks.
Yeah, that is great. I'm gonna make sure for our listeners to put in the links and information to all of these things that are being mentioned, because there's some great opportunities that you definitely don't want to miss out on. So I want to finish out by, we've talked about each state park has something different to offer. And I know that we said, first state park you should visit is go to one near you. But each one of you have been to, well, some of you have been to all the state parks, I believe. I have not yet. But what is a hidden gem within a state park that maybe someone doesn't know about? Maybe you found recently or you've known about for a while that you feel like a lot of people probably don't know about this hidden gem in the state park. I'm curious what there is that I don't even know about. So, Mike, you want to start if you have one?
So, part of that is, when you talk about hidden gems, you really have to understand what people find to be gems, so that you can help them to find the quote hidden gem that relates to them. So it's a little bit of the same answer I gave at the beginning of the show is, the park nearest you, all of them have hidden gems, and, depending on what your particular gym is, what you like to do, what your interests are, what would be special to you would depend on, where we could direct you to find that hidden gym. But from that standpoint, I typically don't do this, but I will take kind of a personal note on where I think hidden gyms are. And I think that a lot of times they are found in what we would consider our lesser known or lesser visited state parks, in that you could find the hidden gems, for example, at Big Cypress Tree with the swamp bottoms that are found within Big Cypress Tree along the river that flows through the park there. That could provide you an experience that if you've never been in it, that you would not experience anywhere else. So you have that opportunity to do that. In every state park, there's, the conversation that you can have with the park ranger about where's their special place within that park. And that's going to be a hidden gem that's special to them. And could be an experience that you may not be able to experience anywhere else. I know that I enjoyed my time at Bledsoe Creek State Park in the small trail system that you have there, and the flora and fauna that you can see along that trail system offered opportunities for special moments for you to enjoy. That's outside of what you would typically think about for Bledsoe Creek State Park, which is traditionally a camping park, but there are other great experiences that you can have there. So I don't know that I answered it as clearly as you would like for it to be answered, but you can find those special places and special opportunities in all of our 56 state parks.
Yes, you did, and I'm glad you added a personal touch, because that's what I was hoping. But you're right, like, it depends on what you see. It's because with me, so I am not big on heights, really not. I, like, my whole body tingles when I get up to a certain height, but I love breathtaking views, and so sometimes, I have been able to find, and I'm blanking on which parks it's been at, but, you know, these nice trails, and it's not like I'm on the side of a cliff the whole time. I'm in the middle of the woods, and then all of a sudden it comes out to this great view. That's a gem for me, because I'm not on the side of a cliff hiking the entire time, so I'm relaxed, and then, wow, there's my view, you know.
Yeah, a lot of times those special gems and special moments are not necessarily planned. There are things that happen when you are just out enjoying nature and the outdoors. And as you visit parks, it's important to realize that the time of day that you visit provides different opportunities. So if you want to see a sunrise, you know, visit early in the mornings. You want to see a sunset, those are experiences that you can enjoy. The same hike in the middle of the day that takes you to a scenic overlook is a different experience if you take it, you know, in the morning during the sunrise, or if you take it in the evening at sunset. And as you're walking up and you see the sunset setting as you come to that overlook, that's a total different experience than you would have had 2 hours earlier on that same hike.
I totally agree. Thanks for that, Mike. Robin, do you have something in mind?
Yeah, so when I was thinking about hidden gem, I was just thinking in general, like, parks that may be hidden gems that just are lesser visited. And this park isn't that unknown in this area. So I'm speaking of Seven Islands State Birding Park, which is just outside Knoxville. It's still in Knox County. It's one of our newer parks. And statewide, a lot of people are not aware of it just because it's only been a park for 6 years, going on 7 years. But it is, it's a day-use park, and it's beautiful hikes and all different type of habitats. So it goes along the river, it's in the forest, and we have lots of meadows there and many, many species of birds. So it's kind of a neat park. I talk to people when I'm around the state, and they just still haven't heard of it yet. Of course, everybody in Knoxville knows about it, but it is a lesser-known gem in the system. So I would have people look into that, not too far off the interstate. And like 10 minutes off of I-40 when you're coming through Knoxville. So that's a neat thing to check out. One other idea I wanted to share is just that some of our state parks help oversee natural areas that are real state natural areas that are adjacent to the park. And two of those that I can think of are Hampton Creek Cove State Natural Area, which is outside of Roan Mountain. So that's in Upper East Tennessee near Johnson City. And if you want to get away from the crowds, you can go to Hampton Creek, and you will likely not run into anybody. Well-maintained trails, just a beautiful getaway in the mountains, in the Blue Ridge Mountains. So it's so pretty. And then another state natural area close to a state park is Colditz Cove State Natural Area, which is outside of Pickett State Park, which is on the plateau in the Middle Tennessee region. Beautiful waterfall there, nice hike, probably won't run into one or two people. So if you want to get away and still be associated with the state park, both of these areas are managed right outside of state parks, and you can find their information on the State Natural Area website, which is also, you know, managed by us, by TDEC. So that was just some thoughts I had on lesser known gems in the state park system.
That is good. I'm glad you mentioned natural areas, because that's important for people to realize that we also have as well. So that's really great. Laura or Brenna? Oh, Laura, there we go.
I'll ditto the things that Robin said, and some of those natural areas that are really close by, or maybe within a park. I will add, especially since this is our sustainability podcast, is making sure to recognize that our natural areas don't have typically the same amenities that our state parks do. So be sure to, you know, pack out your trash, anything you pack in, pack it out. Maybe take an extra trash bag and do a little cleanup if it's safe for you to do, because we definitely appreciate that, to leaving things a little, you know, cleaner and nicer than we find them. And there's so many hidden gems, and it's so hard to pick, sort of like picking your favorite child, because each one has its own little gem and its thing that makes it so special. And I have parks in little places when I go to parks that I visit that are definitely, like Mike was saying, it's really special to me for different reasons. But I will share some of my personal hidden gems. So I think that my first park I worked at as a seasonal was at Fall Creek Falls. And one of my favorite spots or things to do is to actually bike ride the scenic loop around the overlooks, which takes you by the overlook for the Fall Creek Falls, the big waterfall overlook, and then takes you around the edge of the Cane Creek Gorge, which is just right there. It's a beautiful scenic spot. There's multiple places to stop along the way. Milliken's Overlook and Buzzard's Roost. Those are amazing, beautiful spots to look out across the edge, basically, of the Cumberland Plateau. It's remarkable. And you can usually do that in a quiet, find a quiet little hidden spot for this beautiful scenic view. And but one of my favorite places on the scenic loop is Piney Falls, and a lot of people miss it. But make sure as you're making that scenic loop, when you come to the little dead end, take a right toward Piney Falls and walk a short distance to the overlook. Piney is just tucked into the landscape. You can't get down to it, but you can look at it through this beautiful overlook, and it's just this little pocket of wilderness that is absolutely beautiful and special, and everybody should have the opportunity to have that kind of quiet, restorative experience in one of our most beautiful and highly visited state parks. So that's a little hidden gem. I also would like to say that there's multiple hidden gems. There will soon, hopefully, before too many years, it's one of our department initiatives, is connecting all these little gems of the Cumberland Trail. So you go from the, you know, Chattanooga and all the way up to Cumberland Gap when it's finished, and there's these beautiful little pockets of wilderness and special places that are both natural and cultural spots. And so I really feel like the Cumberland Trail is sort of a hidden gem, because there's all these little places like Laurel Snow and Piney Falls and all these places that connect actually many of our natural areas too. So I would say the Cumberland Trail is a collection of little hidden gems.
Yeah, I will agree with that. I've seen a few myself along there. So, yeah, really great area to explore. Brenna, I wanted to give you an opportunity if you had one.
I do. Yeah, I wanted to pick a park, but working in social media, you know, I will sometimes post about things that I found, and people are like, don't give my spot away. Like, that's my secret place, and I totally get that. So I'm not going to pick a park, but I am going to say I grew up going to, like, Long Hunter and Montgomery Bell as a child, because I lived in Nashville my whole life, and it wasn't until I started working with parks that I realized that there were events that parks put on that are free or very low cost that anybody can go to, and they're offered pretty much daily. I went on my first park event just at a work function, but the amount of information that I learned about a park that I had visited my whole life was just incredible. And just the things that you learn to look at when you're at a park, or things you just never would have seen if you weren't with a ranger, that can kind of like open up those little gems in a place that's super close to your house or that you've been a ton of times. You don't really have to traverse the state to find something really cool. Just lean on the rangers and the seasonal employees that know so much about the parks and like let them show you around because they love to do it. And we have so many events going on all the time. It's just such a fun way to get more involved with parks and find that little piece that you can go home and tell everybody about, and then everyone's so jealous and they want to go on a ranger-led backpacking event or, you know, just go on a wildflower hike or something like that.
Yes, that's so true. I know our park rangers and managers are so passionate about what they do, and so that's why we love doing ranger reports and seeing the park from their view. Caleb, did you have something?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I've been trying to fill up my little stamped passport and go to as many of the parks as I can, and I just wanted to give my little, like, hidden gem. About right before the pandemic, I took some of my friends and I decided that we wanted to do a, anytime that we had a free, all of our schedules for free, we would go and camp at one of the state parks, because I feel like there's a lot of people that they don't realize how many opportunities we have for camping and hiking and stuff like that in the state. And we went to Frozen Head, and the I think it's like a 7-mile hike, it's been a while, but it goes up to the watchtower. That is like, was such a fun time for us to do. It's not too strenuous, but it's like a nice fun day hike. You get to go up and see just, you know, super far over the park and all the different areas. And so I would say that, you know, I have a really deep love for a lot of the Middle Tennessee parks, just because I live in Middle Tennessee. But when we went to Frozen Head and did that hike up to the fire watchtower or whatever, that was something that I think everybody needs to do at some point.
That's good. Brenna, did you have something else?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, bouncing off what Caleb just said, I actually went on my first backpacking trip with a ranger from Frozen Head up to the fire tower. And so I can say that it is incredible. And I did it through just an event that was anybody could sign up for. There were like 10 other people that were there, like tons of ladies. It was awesome, of all different ages. And the gear was there for you to just borrow and see what you liked. And yeah, it got me into backpacking. So that's a great hike to do, and you can do it with somebody who knows where they're going. And you know, if it's your first time, we have opportunities for that. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
That's good. Laura, I think you had something.
Yes, Brenna, that makes me feel very happy. We've worked really hard to provide training and programs for our staff so that they can help people have that first experience into the backcountry. So that brings me such joy. And Caleb, you talking about the passport program, that's also one of those projects that I helped shepherd into state parks. And I love that folks are using that passport for inspiration and ideas, because in that state parks passport, we actually did throw in things to do and see and explore, and some little hidden gems that you can look for, some sort of not to miss things when you go to a park, that helps kind of capture the essence of why that park was preserved and protected and became part of the Tennessee State Park System to begin with. And those things bring me joy. But I want to really add something here, is that for those folks that are listening and you may never have never been to a state park, and you have this vision of like you're in the wilderness and you're sweating and you're running out of water, or whatever that is, an image that you're, the story you're telling yourself, that it's out of bounds and out, too far out of your comfort zone and skills and abilities, is I really want you to rethink that and realize that our parks are these great places within a small rural town, and sometimes within a big city, like in Nashville with the Bicentennial Capital Mall State Park. There's something out there for each person, and I just encourage people to get out and explore and, you know, try it for the first time and find out things that you're interested in and do a little planning before you get there, because I think that that's really the important thing, is just getting out there and doing it, and you're going to find that what a hidden gem, our state parks are in general, all 56 of those, plus our over 80 natural areas that where we preserve and protect and share these resources with the public. So I just think that don't think that it's not for you until you try it.
Yeah, that is a really good reminder for people. I love nature, but I'm by no means athletic, nor coordinated at times. And I've been able to see some incredible things. And I have two younger kids as well. And some people may think, well, I can't because I got the kids with me. Well, there's also storybook trails that they have for kids. And that's a nice addition as well. And so, you know, make it a family thing too. And I definitely will say plan before you go. I'm a big planner. So if you look ahead at what there is, I mean, for me, it's a better experience because I'm aware of everything that's offered and I can choose, okay, this is what I want to do, instead of leaving and go, oh man, I can't believe I missed out on seeing that part or taking advantage of that amenity or that opportunity at that park. So really well said. I know we could talk so much more about parks, which I would totally be fine with. But before I wrap it up, I wanted to just open it up. If anyone has any other comments y'all want to say about our state parks, any, just anything at all that comes to mind that you want to think we need to close out with for our listeners, I wanted to open the floor up for that.
Hey, let me say something. Ashley, number one, I just want to thank all of you for taking time to talk about the, number one, the great work that you do, but number two, just amazing natural areas and the state park system that we do have here in the state. I know I'm biased, but after going to Out West and into many other different other states' parks, I truly can say that our park system has got it going on, and I'm excited for what's to come. I know there's a lot of good funding that's coming, and a lot more projects and sustainability initiatives. So I can't say thank you enough for what you guys do. And you know, it's still free to go to our parks. You know, there's a lot of state park systems that you've got to pay to go into, and I understand the reason for that. But you know, I mean, it's crazy to me that we have just such an amazing, 56 of these beautiful places that have all these activities that you can go for free, you know? And so I just wanted to make mention of that. And for any of our listeners that haven't been to a state park, you truly are missing out. And let this be a note to you to get out there and go check them out.
Hey, this is Robin. I'll just jump in and say thank you for highlighting parks this month in this episode. We're thrilled to be here, and we appreciate y'all's support. You always support the parks, but love your podcast and really appreciate it. And everybody out there listening, really do hope that you go visit a park. If this is a kind of a new thing for you, like we were talking about, just look at our map, find the one closest to you, and make it an easy little trip and go check it out.
And I'll follow up and say, Jeff, thanks for having us join the podcast today. And we are grateful for the opportunity to share what's special and important about our Tennessee State Parks. And as Robin says, we encourage you to get out and enjoy them. They are your parks, so take advantage of them. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you all again for taking your time to be on the podcast with us and talk about parks. For our listeners, we'll be posting at this with all the links for various things that you've heard mentioned in this episode, so you'll be able to look into everything. And we encourage you to, you know, find out that, oh, I have a state park 10 minutes from me. Go explore it. Go see what it has to offer. And you, like it's been mentioned several times, go on the website and just check out state parks that may have something that you're really passionate about, and go to that one, even if it's a few hours away. I promise you that any park is worth the drive to go visit it. So, well, without further ado, I am going to say thank y'all again, and I know that anyone listening, if you have questions, feel free to reach out to any of these amazing folks, and they would be happy to help you at any time. You can also message us on Instagram, and Tennessee State Parks also has Instagram as well, and we'll make sure to tag them so you can find them as well.